Thanks, guys. That was good. Woo! All right. We serve a great God. He is a great, great, great God. And He's worthy of all the praise and love we can pour out on Him every single day of our lives. Amen? Amen. Let's look, open up to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I want to talk a little bit this morning about something we all experience in our lives. How do you handle failure? Psalm 73. I'm going to actually start in verse 21 rather than verse 23. It's a psalm of Asaph, and he says this. He says, "When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I'm continually with you. You've taken hold of my right hand. With your counsel, you will guide me and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." It's obvious that Asaph had gone through something very difficult and painful in his life. Something that would be described in his own words as his heart becoming embittered. Something that had pierced him deep within. Something to the point where it almost literally drove him crazy with despair. Senseless, ignorant, like an animal, he says, before you, God. Then he recognized that God was with him. No matter what had happened, no matter what he was going through, and God was holding on to him and giving him instruction and guiding him, and that he had hope for his future. And he said, you know, when my heart and even my flesh, they fail, you will be the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Failure. How do we define failure? Really simply, lack of success. Lack of achieving or reaching some goal or some expectation that you had of yourself or maybe that other people had of you. You're let down. Again, because of some place that you thought or felt that you could get to and rise to and you didn't make it. Or there were other people that had those placed those same expectations on you and they were up here and you let them down. At least that's the way you felt because you didn't achieve or reach that place where you could possibly earn their approval and their acceptance or even their love. It makes us feel really, really bad on the inside when we think we have failed because we feel like we've let others down and that possibly other people look down on us. Because we have not succeeded. More importantly, a lot of times in our own lives when we experience failure, the one person we really feel like we've let down the most is God. That we failed Him in some way because of some expectation that we had of ourselves. Failure can take place in a lot of areas in our lives. Failure can take place in moral areas where we make moral choices that are not best for us and we fail. We can have spiritual failures where we feel like we just crash and burn and we feel like we're drifting away from God and that failure begins to carry us in a direction that we really don't want to go in because again, we had these expectations up here that we did not meet or we did not achieve. We didn't get success in that area like we thought that we should. We can have relational failures where relationships that we've had, whether with friends or with people that we love in our families, husbands, wives, I mean, all kinds of things. There can be failure that takes place there and it doesn't succeed. And again, we look around and we feel like we've either let ourselves down or we've let other people down because of that failure. You can have vocational failure where you were hoping you'd achieve some level out there in the world in a vocation and you did something that caused you not to make it or you were passed over for somebody else. And you feel like you failed because you did not reach what you expected or hoped to attain. When we have failures in our lives, we can respond in a lot of different ways. And we can look at biblical characters throughout the scripture and see their responses to failure. One thing we can do is we can just quit and give up. Just stop. Because we're so let down, or we feel like we've let others down in such a bad way, we just don't want to continue. We just throw in the towel and we're not going to do or try anymore at all. Judas, when he experienced the failure in his life of turning Jesus over and betraying him, was so full of despondency and despair, he went out and quit, gave up, and took his own life. We can go into depression. Some people go into depression because of their failures. Again, because they didn't meet this expectation and they just are so, the wind has gotten knocked out of them so badly. Again, they just want to throw in the towel, but they're not just going to quit from the standpoint of just cashing it all in together. They just withdraw within themselves. They curl up and they draw away from the world, and they this weight just is carried around on their shoulders all of the time, and they're just constantly not wanting to open themselves back up again to the possibility of success or even the possibility of failure again. Elijah, when he was threatened by Jezebel after his great victory on Mount Carmel, he fled like a scared puppy dog into the wilderness, crawled up under a tree, depressed. Probably because, again, here he thought, man, just a few days ago I was standing on the top of the world, seeing God come through, and now look at me. I'm a whimpering puppy running from a woman who's threatened my life. He had depression on the inside. Some people get angry. Some people get angry at themselves, and that anger gets turned inward. Or you begin to do what a lot of people do. They begin to blame somebody else because they're so angry. It's their fault. They're the ones that caused me to fail. Rather than looking at our own lives and the possibilities of things that we did or didn't do that brought about that failure, we just want to point the finger at somebody else rather than take that responsibility. In the garden, when Adam sinned against God, first thing he did was what? Blame somebody else. It's not my fault, it's hers. He was angry, upset, but he didn't want to take responsibility for his own actions, and so he turned around and blamed somebody else. Sometimes we get into the self-pity mode. Poor me, woe is me. But in reality, that's an attention-getting action. We want people to look at us and feel sorry for us. And so we sing the woe is me song. Poor pitiful me. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I can't get a break. Oh, poor pitiful me. So we get into that position where people start giving us attention, and we like that. And a lot of people get so used to that, they just begin to live that way all the time. Because they cannot even imagine or think that success is a possibility for them in their lives. We can respond to failure in a lot of different ways. We desire that attention and try to garner it from others. Or we can respond to failure in this way. We can learn from it. We can learn from our failures. No experience that you and I have in life goes past without us having the possibility of learning a lesson. Nothing. We can learn from our failures. One of the things that was so important for us to do when we have failure is we have to acknowledge it. Not deny it, but acknowledge it. Face up to it. Confess it. Own up to it. And then experience, secondly, forgiveness. Sometimes the failure that we have entered into is a result of because of us sinning against God. And we've experienced failure, and so we need to enter into the place where we are willing to accept and receive the forgiveness of God that He's already given to us. A lot of people have real difficulty doing that, especially if the failure is a big failure in their life, especially in the moral and spiritual areas. They have a very hard time imagining that God could actually forgive them for that. That God has, the slate is already clean, that He's already taken care of it. It's gone. It doesn't exist. The only place it exists now is in your mind. But that you have been forgiven of it. But a lot of people, again, have a hard time accepting that forgiveness. And not only accepting the forgiveness from God, but forgiving yourself. A lot of people have a hard time doing that. It's not that they have their hands around the throat of somebody else. They've got their hands around their own throat. They feel like they have to pay. They have to suffer because of what they've done. And they just are unwilling to turn loose of that, look in the mirror and say, I forgive you. And again, because we had these expectations of ourselves that were way up here, and all of a sudden somehow we failed and we didn't meet that standard. And we've gone to this mode where we just are condemning ourselves. We are doing something to ourselves that God will never do. Because there is therefore now no condemnation toward us. So we have to accept forgiveness. Sometimes it's we need to forgive other people. Maybe they were an indirect or a direct cause of our failure. Something that they did, something that they said, some action that they took that has brought us to this place where we have not achieved that level of success that we thought we would get. And it's their fault, and at least from our perspective. And we hold bitterness against them. We resent them. In fact, we resent them so much even more if they have gone on to success and we haven't. And so we blame them and we have that resentment toward them. And sometimes it's necessary that we forgive them as well for whatever part they played in the failure that we've experienced in our life. Sometimes it's that we have to also, in this forgiveness, bring about reconciliation where something that we have done, where we have failed, has broken a relationship over here. And we need to do whatever we have to do to make things right. To reconcile with those individuals, to take the part of God the Father as a reconciler and restore those relationships. So we acknowledge it. We receive forgiveness from God. We forgive ourselves. And then it's important that you step back and you ask the question, why did I fail? Why did I fall? What brought me to that place? Take some serious time to examine that. And not only that, but what could I do or could have done differently to avoid this? Because it may come around again. You may be put in that same position again. And in that place, in that position, you need to respond in a different way. It's a different road you're going to have to take to bypass the door of failure and walk through the gates of success. What can I do differently? How can I look at it? How can I approach it differently? What can I do to change? You see, a lot of people don't want to change. Again, because they experience failure in their life, they blame other people, they blame circumstances, they blame situations. They never want to take a look at themselves in the mirror and say, maybe it's something that I'm doing that's not right. Maybe there's responsibility on my part that has put me in this position. I see people that bounce around many times, relationship, 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 relationship. And every time, because the relationship breaks up, it's always the other person's fault. Job to job to job to job to job to job. It's always somebody else's fault. Things that are going on in their life where they're constantly experiencing failure, but they always want to blame somebody else. They're not stopping and saying, why am I in this position? What brought me here? What can I do different? Is there something I need to change and do differently? Sometimes it's an attitude that needs to change. Sometimes it's conduct that needs to change. Sometimes just the way that we think needs to change. Sometimes we experience so much failure in our life, our brain gets programmed to expect it. And the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Sometimes we need to retrain up here, because in this, the truth is, when God made us, He wired us for success according to His definition of success and what that is. But we come into this world and the experiences that we have completely get all that out of kilter. Sin directs that whole thing in a different path. And it's important that we renew our mind and begin to think the way God thinks about things and approach things from God's perspective, and we will experience the success He desires for us. He told Joshua that. You know, that you follow me, you trust me, and you will have good success. God's desire for us is to succeed, not to fail. John Wooden said that failure is not fatal, but the unwillingness to change might be. But a lot of people that are unwilling to change, for them, failure can be a fatal thing. So we acknowledge it. We experience forgiveness. We step back and say, what could I do differently, and examine it. Is this something I need to run to next time, or something I need to run from? Something that I don't even need to think about embracing in my life. No failure is not fatal. And it can be a very powerful learning experience for us in our lives. Thomas Edison said, look, I didn't fail. I just learned 10,000 ways how not to do something. You see, when you take a mindset that I failed, or you look at it as a learning process, that I've learned something not to do, or a way not to do it, or a direction I don't need to go in, you begin the path of success then. When you look in the Scripture at the failures that are there, I mean, think about it. They're all over the pages of Scripture. From a standpoint of how we define failure, they're all over it. Of course, we mentioned Adam, the biggest failure of all, that plunged the world into darkness and sin. And yet, even though that was a cataclysmic failure, it was not beyond redemption. In fact, somehow, some way, in the tapestry of history, God had woven that failure into His ultimate purpose and plan in order to reveal His nature and character of love and grace to all mankind in the universe. Moses thought he had it all together as an Egyptian, a young man, and then he went out thinking he was doing God's will and killed another Egyptian, which eventually caused him to have to leave and flee Egypt out into the wilderness to spend 40 years on the backside of a nasty, gnarly, wicked desert. From the standpoint of the world, he was in one of the places to be the most powerful man on the planet, and he did one thing and crash and burn. Failed. But God worked through that, got him to where he needed him to be, brought him back to do something. And then after he'd taken the people out of Egypt, he gets to a place after seeing God's miracles, His provision, and because of an anger issue, he struck a rock rather than spoke to it. And he failed in his mission right there and his obedience to God, and it cost him dearly from being able to even go into the promised land. But his failure was not fatal or final. He learned from it. Look at David. Man after God's own heart. Man who loved God with all of his passion, all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength. He loved God. And here's a man who became king in the most powerful position of Israel, leading the people. And then, because of a moment of weakness and lust, he commits adultery and then ultimately murder to secure his adultery and cover it up. Failure. But then look, God steps in even into that failure and uses it in a redemptive way, so that the woman that David ends up with is actually one of the women that's going to be in the line of the Messiah coming into the world. How would you have figured that one out? But he failed. David, I love looking at him. Is David's living under the old covenant? You know, before the cross, before this whole thing about forgiveness and all the complete dealing with the sins of all humanity in the world. And David is living under that. And when David makes his confession to God, he does what you're supposed to do. He acknowledged his failure. He received God's forgiveness. He forgave himself. It's amazing when he confesses that in Psalm 51, he says, God, even though there were things that affected other people, he says, against you ultimately and you only that I've done this and done this evil in your sight. He received forgiveness from God. He got up and he went on with his life. He would write later on more and more about the mercies of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, as he would pen more words of praise to God after that horrible experience in his life. Yes, it brought him pain. Yes, it brought him inner sorrow. But David got up and walked on. I wonder how many of us would be able to do that if we committed adultery and ultimately murder. Would we be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and smile, knowing that we've been forgiven and we move on? It's amazing. When you look on down into the New Testament, you've got Peter. Peter had a lot of failures in his life. Got out of a boat one night, walked with Jesus on top of the water, and failed. Sunk up to his neck, going to drown just as sure as anything had Jesus not snatched him back up. Because of his fear. Later on, the most crucial moment of the life of his Messiah, of his Lord, he turns his back on him and denies him and curses and swears that he doesn't even know him. Failure. Then on down to the, after all of the resurrection and Jesus restoring him, you go to the church in Antioch in Syria and he's about to plunge the whole Christian movement into the toilet. Because he's refusing to eat with the Gentiles because he felt so much pressure from the Jews that showed up from Jerusalem. He was compromising the gospel and perverting it and twisting it until Paul had to confront him to his face and point out his failure publicly. Peter, you'd think after three major failures like this, this would be a guy who would want to just go in a closet somewhere and never see the world again. He didn't. He knew his failure. He acknowledged it. Forgiveness he got. Recognized the things that he had done that put him in those positions and didn't go back down those roads again. He didn't blame anybody else. He didn't point his finger and say it's all their fault. He didn't do any of that. He acknowledged it. He took responsibility for it and he learned from it. And he moved on. The one person we think about most of all when we have failures in our lives is God. We wonder how does He view us when we blow it. The thing we need to understand is this is something you've got to get through. We all do in our heart. You will never disappoint or let God down. Never. Wait a minute, when I fail, when I sin, that's letting God... No, you're not. You know what disappointing someone is? It's somebody who has expectations of you here that you do not meet. And because they had these expectations of you up here and you didn't meet them, they feel let down by your not meeting those expectations. Guess what? God has no expectations of you. He knows you. Before you were ever a thought in anybody's mind, He knew every failure you would ever have. He knew every time you would blow it, every time you'd fall flat on your face. And He knew it perfectly. And He still loved you perfectly. No expectations, no surprises, nothing you and I do surprises Him. So you don't have any expectations up here that you've got to meet. Now, does that mean that He's not grieved or hurt? When we fail because of things that we do, certainly is. He's a good parent. And what grieves Him is not that you've let Him down, it's the pain that you've brought into your own life, that He knows the things and the choices that you make, the pain and suffering it's going to bring to you. And it grieves His heart to see you and I having to go through those things. But as far as Him being let down and disappointed, that's all a lie. Because He's not. But so many people, because religion teaches us to view God that way, live when they fail with this horrible cloud of condemnation and guilt over them that God is disappointed in me. God will never be proud of me. God is not pleased with me. God will not be in friendship with me anymore because I let Him down. And that's all a lie. God is never disappointed in you and I. And know that whatever our failures are in our life, He works redemptively through them. He turns the bad into good. Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, God causes all things to work together for the good. All things. Even the nasty bad stuff in our life. The blunders. The sewage that we fall into sometimes and wallow in. And the choices that we make. He takes those things. We put it in His hands. And He weaves it very graciously and lovingly in a very redemptive way. And we look back years later and think, wow. My life was changed because of that failure. The success that I'm experiencing in my life now is built off the bricks of failure back there. He turned the bad into good. As He always, always does. Sometimes failures in our lives are used by God to bring a brokenness in us You know, it's kind of like the woman who had the alabaster box, that beautiful, lovely, sweet fragrance that was on the inside of it would never have been experienced or enjoyed by everybody in that room had she not broken that box so that fragrance could fill the room. And sometimes God, through our failures, brings brokenness into us so that the fragrance of Christ, His life, His character can emanate from us as we grow through it and because even of that failure. When you look at your failures in your life, you need to understand this from God's perspective. You are not a failure. There's a difference between failing and seeing yourself as a failure. You're not. Don't look at yourself that way. You will fail, but you are not a failure. So many times we get that perspective of us because of the shame and the guilt that comes upon our lives, because of the bad choices that sometimes we make and experiences that we have, and we begin to see ourselves, I'm a failure. There's a big difference between saying I failed or and I am a failure. And your perspective is completely different viewing it from one of those two lenses of life. God doesn't see you as a failure. He sees you as His beloved child, that He has nothing but desires for success and blessing. That's not positive thinking talk. That's reality. He knows there's going to be pain and heartache throughout your life. He's not going to allow us to miss or avoid those things. He's not going to cause us to bypass those things because those places are very crucial in the shaping of our character into the image of Jesus and learning about Him as we walk through those valleys. You're not a failure. And God does not see you that way. When you look at your life, as I said a while ago, some point later on, near the end of it, if you have the chance to reflect, you look back at the successes that you've had, you're going to realize, just like so many people that we look at out in the world today, we see people out there in the world today that are successful. But what we don't realize is that their place where they are right now, they didn't get to that place without a whole lot of failures in the past. A lot of bricks of failure upon which they built and used as stepping stones to get to where they are right now. It's no different in the spiritual realm. When you reach that place and you look back, you'll look back and see that so many of the places that you thought were negatives were actually positives that God used as stepping stones for you to move up, up, up into the place where He wanted you to be all along. Unless you make the choice to wallow and refuse to acknowledge it, deal with it, and move on. You have to take responsibility for it. Learn from it. Forgive yourself. Get up and move on. And He will bless. Failure is not fatal and it is not final in the life of a child of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You for the fact that, as Paul said, when we are weak, that's really when we're strong. Father, I pray for everyone here this morning, as I've prayed through this week, thinking about this message, that You would please just help them to see themselves as You see them. They're not a disappointment to You. They've not let You down. Help them not to see themselves as failures. And Lord, where they've failed in their life, or where they may be failing right now, where they may be struggling, help them to know that they can change. And they can grow and move on from this place. Stir in them the passion to want to know You, to want to build and see success from the failures that they've experienced. Lord God, help them to experience Your forgiveness, Your mercy, Your grace in that area where they feel like they've blown it the biggest. Holy Spirit, encourage them. fill them with hope, and fill them with the desire to move on and to see what you have out in front of them, for them. In Jesus' name, amen.